It's so good to be here in the house of God today. It's exciting. As we go into our series Forever, we have an interesting principle. And I want to tell you, I'm praying through these principles because there's a lot of things that make relationship work. But what the Lord has been showing me are the four most important. Let's go to Ruth chapter 33. It's a small verse. It's just one verse that I read. And as I was reading this story of Ruth, because it's all about romance and all of that, there was one thing that I saw in this verse that led me to see the second principle for a lasting relationship. And the Bible says, wash and perfume yourself. That word perfume is translated anoint yourself. So it's wash and anoint yourself. And put on your best clothes. Then, can we all say then? So there's another response. You have to do this first and then you can do that. So wash and anoint yourself and put on your best. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Let me just explain to you what's happening here. Ruth is a widow. She's a single woman. And she's ready to get back into a relationship. Maybe you're in that position now. You're either divorced or you're widowed or you're single and you're saying, Pastor, I feel like I'm ready for a relationship right now. And if you're single today, this is going to bless you because you're going to see if you're ready for a relationship or not. If you're married, this series is going to bless you because it's going to help you understand if your marriage is lasting and it's still continuing to be a blessing. So I want to read to you this passage one more time because God said, wash, perfume, and put on your best. Wash, anoint, put on your best. Let me say that one more time. Wash, anoint, put on your best. Can you repeat it after me? Wash, anoint, put on your best. Look at your neighbor right now. You're going to be talking a lot to them today. Wash, anoint, put on your best. You know, let me tell you what. Yeah, okay. So you're saying, Pastor, it's just getting weird. Just wait. Because as I read that, it was just so convicting because Ruth was ready for a relationship, so she thought. I never noticed it until I read it. But Ruth thought she was, she met Boaz, and Boaz was a good-looking guy. He was single. He was wealthy. I mean, ladies, he was a catch. He was everything. And Ruth was getting ready to get on her way to go meet with Boaz, and Naomi stops her and says, hey, slow down there, tiger, slow down. I know you're on the prowl. I know you want him. But girl, you need to wash. You need to anoint yourself, and you need to put on your best. I read that and I said, oh my goodness, there, Lord, that's the second principle of a lasting relationship. Because Ruth thought she was ready for a relationship. She was making her moves towards it. And then Naomi stops her and says, no, you, girl, chill, relax. You're not ready. Wash, anoint yourself, and put on your best. Principle number two. Going back to principle number one for a lasting forever relationship is being free from negativity. If you haven't heard it yet, it's a blessing. You can't really get blessed by this message until you hear that one. So go online and download it. Not now, you're in church. But part two of our Forever series, principle number two, are you guys ready for this? Give your best to someone. Let it sink in. Give your best to someone. Relationships that last are built on people that give the best of themselves to one another. Let me rewind it and say that again. Relationships that last are built on people that give the best of themselves to someone else, to another. Relationships that fail are those that have people that did not give the best of themselves to that person they failed with. And all over your life, can I just tell you, church, you give your best to something. See, this is how I see relationships today falling apart, and why? Because your priorities change, and you give your best to something or someone else, and you neglect the area of your life that you should be giving your best at. So here's what happens. If you're married and you have children for 18 years or more, you know, you're there and you're all about your children. So mom and dad are all about their kids, whether they're married or divorced, it's all about the kids. So it's all about, you know, going to games and taking them to recitals and church events, and you're always there with them and with them and with them. And both parents are just so giving their best to their children, and that's wonderful. But here's what happens when the children leave. Mom and dad look at each other and they don't know what to do, and you have empty nest syndrome, and that's when divorce and problems and strife begin to happen, because they don't know any longer how to give their best to one another, because their best has been taken by their kids. And if you're, you know, single and you're giving your best to your job, you're giving your best to friends, and you're giving your best to going out and having a good time, and all your best is going to other things, and then when you get into a relationship, you don't know how to give the best of yourself to someone, because you spend all your energy giving your best to something else, and then that person says, I don't think we're going to work out. You can give your best to a hobby, whether it be golf or fishing or whatever, any other distractions out there. We're giving our best and our time to something else, and we neglect all our other relationships. So you can give your best to work and kids and your life, and that's great. But see, when you choose to give your best somewhere, there's another area that's being neglected. Is this making sense? And in order to make a relationship work, you need to apply the second principle to a lasting relationship, and you need to give your best to that person. You can't give them what's left over of yourself. You need to give your best to them, and you need to ask yourself, if you want to evaluate your relationships with your friends or your dating, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your fiance, your wife, your husband, whoever it is, you just have to step back and ask yourself, am I giving my best at this? We all need to take a step back and say, am I giving my best to this person? Am I giving my best to my children? Am I giving my best to my wife? Am I giving the best of who I am to this other person? Because if you don't give your best to them, it's going to fail. So I want to preach to you this morning on what it means to give your best to someone. You know what's interesting? That when I was fishing on Friday, I was just thinking about fish and relationships and Sunday sermon and all of that. And I, as I'm there just fishing, which I was just there, you know what I noticed about fishing? We all use fishing terminology for relationships. You know, we say things like when you break up with someone and girlfriend comes up to you and she says what? There's plenty of fishing time. There's plenty of fish in the sea. When you're out with the singles and Poppy comes and he's looking good, you say, whoa, what a catch. You notice that relationships, we base it on fishing. Why? Because when it comes to fishing, it's all about just luring that person in. But here's the crazy thing about fishing. It's more than just catching. It's way more than just lowering something in and throwing it back. Aren't you tired of catch and release? Is that your relationship? Catch and release. Oh my gosh, I'm catching and releasing. I can't find a good one. I'm going to explain to you why you're catching and releasing too much. But we're just there. We're saying, well, I just want to find a catch. Or man, I just know there's plenty of fish out there. I just got to keep trying, got to keep casting. And I just want to find the catch. But fishing is more than just catching. There's a process after. And I was thinking about this as I was fishing. So I want to say, okay, we're fishing, we're finding. And then we find someone. Great. And we catch them. All right. Then what? Can I just jump right into it and enjoy it? That's disgusting. Call it sushi, call it whatever. That is gross. So yeah, we catch these fish and we catch these relationships and we say, man, this is a catch. Look at my boyfriend. Look at my girl. Look at my spouse. Look at my friend. Wow, what a catch. But you can't just jump in it. Now, it's called washing or cleaning a fish. And it's one of the nastiest things about fishing. So nasty, they always tell me to do it. I don't know why. Because here's the thing, I can't enjoy this fish because there's things inside it. There's things inside it that if I don't remove, I mean, it's just going to ruin the catch. So what happens with relationships is that we focus so much on the outside. We focus, so this is disgusting. I love you guys. It's church. But we focus so much on the outside that we jump right into a relationship. But don't you know that if there's something on the inside of that person that's not taken out or taken care of, it is going to ruin a good thing? Let me tell you, you're a catch right now. Give God praise. You're a catch. You really are. But let me tell you something. If we apply this to you, you may be great on the outside. Girl, your hair looks awesome, on point today. You've been working out. You got the curves. All of that is great. Bobby, you look good too. You know, you're there. You're working out. And you got the hair going. Everything's good and on point. But let me tell you something. That there's things inside of you that if you don't take care of, doesn't matter how much of a catch you are, it's going to mess things up. This is why so many people are breaking up and divorcing and splitting up. Because we say, the first thing we look at, oh, is they're pretty, they're nice, they're... How many know you can fake all of that? That's all outside stuff. Then you get to know a person, you start seeing some things, and you begin to realize, man, there are things inside this person I never noticed, but you notice it only after you put a ring on it. Am I preaching to someone today? This is what God does to us. You know, Jesus used fishing terminology with his disciples about preaching the gospel. Because, you know, you were a catch to God. Jesus was the lure. He hooked you. And he washed you of your sins. Could it be that your relationships are failing, your marriage is what it is today, because you're not dealing with the truth of who you are on the inside? You're more preoccupied with looking good on the outside, but it's the inside that's messing your life up. It's more than just catching it, but it's more than just finding a relationship. If you don't deal with what's on the inside, it's going to ruin what God wants to do on the outside. You know, this is Ruth. Ruth thought she was ready. Ruth wanted Boaz right away. She was about to step in. But then Naomi, the wiser one, stops her and says, hey, you need to wash, anoint, and put on your best. See, we all need friends like Naomi that give us a reality check. Girl, you stink. You need to wash yourself. You need to anoint yourself and then put on the best. And this is what I got from Naomi. Naomi was saying, in order to get Boaz and make this relationship work, you got to put on your best. But girl, you can't put on your best until you first take care of what's inside. Because if she would have put on her best clothes without washing or anointing, it would have still ruined everything. So we go into a relationship saying, well, I'm gonna present myself as the best catch ever. I'm going to present myself as an awesome guy or an awesome girl. But then you go into it, and before you know it, let me tell you, the inside comes out. And then what? Because looks can only take you so far in a relationship. Especially if you've been married long enough, you understand hair falls off, weight gets gained, things become wrinkled, and things get lower and hang more. And you notice, man, so what's going to make your relationship work after if it's what the outside that hooked you, and then the inside is coming out? Ruth thought she was ready for Boaz. Ruth thought she was, man, I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to get him. But Naomi stopped her and said, listen, you need to wash. You need to anoint. You need to put on your best. And you can't put on your best until you wash and anoint. You know what Naomi said, which was God speaking through her, which is me speaking to you now? You can never be the best that God has created you to be until you take care of what's on the inside of you. You can't. You can't give your best to your wife if there's things inside of you that are wrong and disgusting. You can't give your best to your husband if there's things inside of you, wife, that don't honor God and it's pretty disgusting. You can't give your best to your friends and your church and all the relationships around you. You can't give the best of who you are to someone if you don't deal with what's on the inside. So there's so many things on the inside of us that we don't take care of, and we catch them and we say, man, let me just jump into this relationship. And then you wonder why it doesn't work out. Because like this fish, if I don't go through the process of washing it and gutting it and removing, it may look nice. It may be a catch. It may be a delicious fish. But I am not going to enjoy it to the fullest of its potential because I failed to remove the inside. All of you have great potential. All of you have greatness in you. All of you, God has created you to be the best in your marriage, to be the best as parents, to be the best coworker, to be the best friend you can be, to be the best, but you can't be the best until you take out what's bad on the inside. We learned through Naomi that relationships require you giving the best of yourself to them in order for it to work. But through Naomi, we also learn you can't only just take care of on the outside. You first have to take care of what's on the inside. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus comes on the inside. And later on, as you walk with him and as you have a relationship with Jesus, which I'll explain what that means in a little bit, but as you walk with Jesus and as you have a relationship with Jesus, because he's living on the inside of you now, what's inside gets taken care of and it begins to show on the outside. That's what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. He goes inside you, begins to gut you, begins to remove the sin, begins to remove the immorality, begins to remove the bad habits, begins to remove the things that don't honor him. And as you remove that, can I tell you, it is nasty? You know, you think you're going to just pray to God, just, Lord, wash me, clean me. Oh, wow, that was easy. I feel great. The anger is gone. The depression is gone. The bitterness is gone. The sexual immorality or the temptation, I don't have it anymore. That doesn't happen. It's a process and it's gross, but you know what? I love God because he's willing to go through it with you. So learn through her. Learn through what Naomi told Ruth. You're not ready because you need to give your best, but you can't give your best because you haven't washed and anointed yourself. So you can be someone that looks great on the outside, but you stink on the inside. Is that who you want to be? Do you want to be a person that smiles all the time and wears nice clothes and has nice hair and great bodily features and you are great on the outside, but when they get to know you, you stink on the inside because you have unforgiveness, you have bitterness, you have selfishness, you're judgmental, you're critical? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person. Because relationships can only work when you offer the best of who you are to that person, but you can't give them the best of who you are if you don't take care of the inner issues that are preventing you from being the best person you can be. Inner issues, we all have them. Hidden things inside this fish. It may look great on the outside, but it is so disgusting on the inside. Hello, this is you. This is me. This is all of us. Don't sit here in church like you have it all together. That's what Forward Fellowship is all about. Broken people moving forward together. You can't sit here like, oh, this sermon's not for me. Girl, you have issues. Boy, you have issues. All of us have inner issues we need to work at. You can't sit here and look at God in his presence and say, I'm good. Hey, Lord, I can tell you people that need to be gutted. Lord, gut my husband. Gut my kids. Gut my boss. Gut so-and-so. And God's looking at you like, what about you? You have it all together. Inner issues like unforgiveness will ruin a relationship. Inner issues like anger. You can't control your rage. You can't control your temper. That will ruin a relationship. I don't care what six-pack you have. If you're an angry person, it ain't gonna work. Inner issues like guilt and shame will ruin a relationship because it builds insecurity, and insecurity damages relationships. Selfishness will damage a relationship. These are all inner issues that if you're real enough with yourself and God, you may find, and God wants to gut. And God wants to help out. Evaluate yourself, evaluate your marriage, evaluate your family, evaluate your friendships, and ask yourself like David did, Lord, is there anything in me, not outside of me, Lord, if there's anything in me, it doesn't honor you. You'll be surprised that the answer is always yes. In fact, you ask any person that's gone through a divorce or a breakup after, they know why. Every divorced person knows why they're divorced. They look back and they say, yeah, there were some guts in my relationship I never took care of. There were things inside each other. There was things inside me and inside them that we just ignored and never dealt with. So we never reached the fullness of our potential. You never enjoyed the fish because you never gutted the fish. Hey, but you caught them. But you didn't keep them. Relationships only work with the second principle. I give my best to her. I give my best to him. I give my best to them. But you can't give your best to her, him, or them if you don't let God deal with you first. Naomi tells Ruth something powerful. Three things. Before you go to Boaz. One, wash yourself. Wash yourself. And I read that and I said, man, that's interesting. Because in the Bible, washing was always a symbol of removing the past and sin. It's true. It was a symbol that people did as a sign of God washing their past and washing their sin. That's why Jesus said, I will wash you as white as snow. What is God saying there? He has the power to remove whatever past, whatever present, whatever future sin you have. God washes it. That's a praise moment. I need to thank God. God, you can wash all my sins away. So she tells Naomi, wash. And as I read that, I said to myself, God, is it possible that if we don't wash, it will ruin our relationship? And the answer is yes. If you go into a relationship and you still have problems with your past, and you can't get over your past, and maybe you can't get over it because you have a past with that person you're in a relationship with, and you can't forgive them, that relationship is not going to work. Well, I just can't forgive them, Pastor. They took advantage. They knew better. They hurt me. Well, let me tell you, that's fine. But you know what hurts worse? When they're not around anymore. And you can't forgive the past. Some people get into a new relationship, remembering the old relationship, taking out on that new person something about that old person. I don't trust them. Why? Well, because the last person hurt me. Well, did he hurt you? No, Pastor. Hello? No, but my past, it's just so painful. So we go into these relationships with the past and the past. I can't get over it. I can't forgive. And bitterness and resentment. And they have nothing to do with it, but you take it out on them because you've been hurt. Or you can't forgive that person, but Lord, bless us. Lord, bring us together. Lord, bring us unity. Are you kidding me right now? Because you can't have a relationship without the removal of sin and past. That's when Jesus steps in and has a relationship with us. The first thing he does is washes you. He washes you of your sin. He washes you of your past. He washes you of your guilt. He forgives because he knows that without forgiveness, relationships can't happen. So you want a marriage that works? But you don't want to forgive? You want a friendship that lasts, but you don't want to forgive? You want your next relationship to be awesome, but you can't forget the last relationship? You got to wash yourself, she told Ruth. See, the symbol of washing was always a removal of the past, removal of sin. When you went into someone's house, you would wash your face, you would wash your feet. And I thought to myself, that's so strange, but why? Because you know that when you went into someone's house, you carried stuff on you from your journey. Some of you have been on a long journey, and you have a lot of things on you. But when you wash it away, it was like stepping into a new person. Your past will divide you. Your past will break your relationships. Having resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and holding them accountable to what they did, it's never going to bring you closer. It's never going to bring healing. You're holding on to stuff they did yesterday, a month ago, 20 years ago. And then you're there praying to God, Lord, we're not working out. Lord, we need to work this out. Lord, we need blessing. We need love in our relationship. God doesn't just give you love for that person. You need to work it. You need to gut it. You need to take care of it. This is why when David, he had this son, and he was sick, and David prayed and prayed and prayed, and he said, Lord, heal my son, heal my son. God, please heal my son. And he prayed, and he worried, and he fasted, and he kept praying, and then the son died. It's like God let him down. It's like God failed him. Let me tell you, people in life are going to let you down. People in life are going to fail you. But I love what David said. The Bible says David got up. He washed himself, anointed himself, and he put on new clothes. That's in your Bible. I said, why did David do that? Because he was letting God know. It hurt. It wasn't easy. I thought you were going to do it. You didn't. But by David washing himself and anointing himself and putting on new clothes, he was telling God, I'm not going to hold this against you. It's not going to affect our relationship. And God blessed him. See, turn that around and you can look back and see people in your life, parents or children or boyfriends or friends or husband or wives that have let you down. What if you just say right now, you know what you did hurt? I expected better. I expected you to do this, but you didn't. But you know what? I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm just going to wash myself from this and give you my best. Or you're going to hold on to a grudge, and you're going to hold on to them and put it in their face all the time and remind them of what they did. It's not going to help. David understood, I have a choice to make. Am I going to stay bitter? Or am I just going to wash this off? God told Joshua and the nation of Israel, before they go into the promised land, wash, anoint yourselves, and put on new clothes. That's in the Bible. And I said, God, but why? And it was simple. Because God wanted to do something new in their life. But God says, I can't bring the new until you get rid of the old. Is this not preaching to you today? You want God to do new in your life? You want God to give you a new love for that person? You want God to give you a new person? You want God to give you a new hope? You want God to give you a new life? Hey, God is all about making all things new, but you can't get the new if you keep holding on to the old. So God says, wash, anoint, put on your best. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm going to make it clear. You need to get over your past. Because God wants to do something new in your life. But you can't until you wash yourself. The washing of self always represented a washing of the old, a washing of the past, and it also represented a washing of sin. You know, sin will ruin any relationship. The sin of Adam and Eve put a hindrance on the relationship they had with God. Since the beginning of time, sin ruined relationship. And if there's sin in your life, and if there's habitual sin within you, you carry that into your relationships, and it will hinder your relationships. Colossians 3:5. God was talking about people and relationship. He was talking about, this is the same book that talks about wives and husbands. This is a love chapter. And look at what he said. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Hello, let me ask you a question. Let's see how good we can get this. What relationships can work if there's sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires and greed? Can you say, wow, what a catch? No relationships can work if there's lust. If your man's always looking around at women, that's not going to work. But the guy says, oh, I'm just human. No, you're just a sinner. You have a lust problem, impurity, immorality, and you're just greedy. No relationships can work if you have this. Oh, and it gets better. Verse 6. Look at what God says here in verse 6 as he keeps reading. And he says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. It is serious to God. You used to, hello, the past. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Notice what he says. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must what? Rid. Not hold on to. Rid. Complete removal. That is gutting. Complete removal. Rid yourselves. Not get rid of what doesn't honor God in that other person. You know, a lot of you like gutting people. You're gutters, man. You're just, oh, I don't like that about them. But he says, rid, what's the next word? We don't like to say it, yourself. Rid, say it loud, yourself of all such things. Oh, it gets better. Now we get into the emotions. Anger, rage, malice, that's always talking bad about them. Slander, filthy language. Can any relationship work with that? No, keep reading. It gets crazier. Because God says it. If you have all of these things, it's not going to work. God says, listen, you need to remove your past and you need to remove your sin. And if there's one of these things you identified, just one, I hate to tell you, it can ruin your relationships. You're like, oh, just one? Yeah. I can tell you so many relationships that have been damaged by anger and rage, couldn't control their temper, couldn't control. How many relationships have been so destroyed by just slander and malice, just words and filthy language? How many relationships have been damaged because of greed? And God says, listen, I need to gut this from you. That's what it means to wash. She tells Ruth, before you go, I mean, Ruth, get rid of your past. Wash yourself. Get rid of your sin. The things that are filthy. The things that are going to put a separation between you and Boaz. If you really want him to get close, you need to smell good. But girl, he can't get close to you if you have all of this dirt on you. And you want a close relationship with your spouse? You want a close relationship with your kids? You want a close relationship with your friends? Listen, you need to wash yourself. Because if you have anything like this, closeness is not possible. Amen? Number two, then she tells them, anoint yourself. Anoint yourself. So, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, the Bible, anointing with oil, it was first done with shepherds and sheep. And the shepherd would get oil and he would anoint the sheep. And the reason he would do that, he would only do that only after he washed the sheep, by the way. So God was always talking about this in relation to us. We're God's the shepherd and we're the sheep. That's what he says. So then what happens is that God comes into the picture and he washes you of your sin. But it doesn't stop there. As the shepherd washed the sheep, then he would anoint the sheep. The anointing of the sheep, the shepherd would put oil on the sheep to avoid any insects getting inside the ear. and damaging the head, and literally infected their brain, and they would die. So that's why daily the shepherd would just anoint his sheep and anoint every day, anoint, anoint. And I'm sure those sheep, I'm tired of getting anointed. So why do people do it? Anointing then after became a symbol, as many people in the Bible were literally anointed. It was a symbol of God's protection and blessing and power over them. It was a symbol of getting under God's authority. Can I tell you, relationships will never work with someone that is outside of God's authority? Oh, but I can change them. No, you can't. You want to know if a relationship's going to work? Ask yourself, how's the relationship with God? Because if he's not going to church, you're not going with him. The anointing was always God's way of saying, get under my authority. Walk with me. And I protect you. And I protect your mind. So in order for a relationship to work, you have to get under the authority of God. So what do you do first? First you say, Lord, there's sin in me. Lord, I need to be gutted. God, there's this past, this heaviness. And you come to God as you are, and he washes you, forgives you. But then God says, listen, now that you're forgiven, get under my authority. Walk with me. Have a relationship with me. And as you walk with me and I anoint you, your mind gets better. You can't expect to give your best to someone when you don't give your best to God first. You want to give the best of who you are to your spouse or your kids or anyone else? Wash yourself and get under the authority of God. Spend time with him. Pray with him. Come to church. Learn his word. Because when you were anointed, the anointing was always a symbol of God empowering you. Because I know what you're thinking now. Pastor, I don't think I can get rid of my guts. I don't think I can get rid of my sin. I don't know if I can handle it. God says, listen, here's the thing about sheep. Did you know that they're literally the only animals that cannot clean themselves? Every animal in this world has the natural ability to wash themselves except sheep. I wonder why God calls us sheep now. You know what God says? You can't help yourself. You can't clean yourself. You need me. That's what the anointing is. You simply come to God and say, Lord, wash me. And when you come to God and say, Lord, wash me, then you say, Lord, anoint me. I want to get under your authority. And then number three happens. Then you put on your best. Then, only then, does the best come. You can't put the best, you can't give the best of who you are into a relationship that hasn't been washed and that hasn't been anointed. If you have sin in your life, you're still struggling with your past, and you're not close with God and his authority, tell me, how are you going to give the best to that person? It's impossible. So once she washed herself, once she anointed herself, then Ruth put on her best for him. She took care of the inside first, and then it showed on the outside. So that when Boaz saw her, he said, man, she looks good. And as he got closer, man, she even smells good. Because the last thing you want is for someone to look at you and say, man, they look good. Look at them worshiping. Look at them smiling. Look how nice they are. And then you get close to them like, yeah, oh my gosh, this person is so bitter. This person is so judgmental. This person is so selfish. Oh my gosh, they stink. And then you wonder, I don't know why I can't keep a man. Well, you look good. What's on the inside? Put on your best. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? I hear it all the time. Give your best to Jesus. Give your best to God. We say that, but we never explain what that means. Give your best in that relationship. Put on your best. Well, going back to that relationship chapter, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 now, notice what God says here, which is just phenomenal. God says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, what's the next word, church? Clothe yourself, just as Ruth was doing now. She was clothing herself. Did you know that giving your best means you put on Jesus? In your relationship, you look like Jesus. You want to know if you're doing that? If you're married and your spouse is next to you, ask them right now, do you feel like you're married to Jesus? I dare you. You might say, they're like, no, I think the devil. Put on, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds it all together. You say, Pastor, I can't give my best. Why? Because listen, it's hard. And I'll close with this. This is what God says. You want to put on your best. This is what it looks like. You clothe yourself with kindness. Is there kindness in your relationship? That's what giving your best to someone is. You're always kind to them. The word kind is just there, an act of service. You're there to serve them. Oh, but they don't serve me. It's not about that. You want to give your best to your spouse, to your children, to your church, to your friends, to any relationship. You got to serve them. He says, listen, you got to have compassion. You got to have humility. You got to have patience. You got to have love. And you got to have forgiveness. This is what it means to give your best to someone. Let me tell you about giving your best to your relationships. Giving your best is all about character and attitude. It's all about saying, I want to give my best to my wife. I want to give my best to my family. I want to give my best of me to this person. So when they're with me, they're going to have compassion. They're going to have kindness. They're going to see forgiveness modeled. They're going to have humility. I'm going to admit when I'm wrong. I'm going to humble myself. They're going to see patience. I'm not going to push them too fast. I'm just going to wait and make sure they get it. I'm going to be patient. They're going to see love. They're going to see gentleness. That's what it looks like, and that's how you know you're giving the best of yourself to someone else. You say, Pastor, that's hard. Well, why do you think you need the anointing of Jesus? You can have patience, compassion, forgiveness, humility, love, gentleness. You can't have that if it's mixed with filth of anger and rage and bitterness. This is why God says you can't put the best on until you wash yourself. So you get under this idea that you say, okay, God, I need to be gutted. God, I have anger. I have unforgiveness. I have issues with my past. There's things I can't let go. Lord, I have all this sin in my life, and I can't give the best of who I am to that person because the guts are still in me. But Lord, I'm here. Wash me. of my sin. Wash me of my past. Wash me of everything I've done wrong, Lord. And when you get washed, then you say, God, now I'm going to get under your authority and anoint me, Father. Be with me and help me and protect me so that that past doesn't come back. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to worship and I'm going to seek you and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to just continue to seek you, Father, under your authority. And when you begin to do that, naturally, you become more of a compassionate person. Naturally, you become more kind. You become more forgiving. You become humble. You become patient. You become loving. You become gentle. Not because it just happened, no. Because one day, you recognize the sin in your life. You ask God to forgive you and wash you. And you got under His authority. And when I got under the authority of God, He anointed me and gave me the power and the ability to walk as He did. Can I tell you how sick relationships are today? That it saddens me. It doesn't even anger me anymore. It saddens me when someone says, man, I mean, this is the best relationship. Why? He's the best boyfriend. This is the best spouse. Why? Oh, pastor. Oh, my goodness. It's because, you know what? Let me tell you something. The best in a relationship is not giving your spouse the best car. Oh, we live in the best house. We go on the best vacations. She wears the best outfits that I buy them because I have the best job. And they get divorced. I mean, how many divorced people do you see that had everything? Why? Because there's one thing they did not have: godly virtue. Virtue means behavior. Godly behavior will make any relationship last. It's not all about giving your best physically and with material or any of that. Listen, giving your best to a relationship means this person is going to experience God through my behavior. That's hard. But listen, it's not hard for God. That's why He says you need my anointing. I will empower you when you get under me. But you can't get my anointing until you first let me wash you. Godly virtue will make any relationship work. It is impossible for any relationship to last if godly virtue is absent. You need to wash yourself. You need to anoint yourself. And this is how it looks when I say, number two, give your best to that person. You look at any relationship right now in your life. Look at it right now. Any relationship that's failing. Any relationship that's not what it used to be. Any relationship that's divided. Any relationship that love is not there. And maybe you're married, but you feel like it's just a roommate that you have right now. I understand that. You're saying, well, and ask yourself this: where's godly virtue? If you tell me right now, pastor, we have godly virtue every day. Pastor, we're always compassionate. We're always kind to one another. There's forgiveness every day. We're so humble. We're patient. We're loving. We're gentle. And we still have problems. Can you show me your hands right now? Look around, church. Not one hand is up. Because it is impossible to have a lasting relationship where godly virtue is absent. You want to ask yourself, well, why is my spouse so unhappy? Ask them when you get home, hey, listen, do I need to be gutted? Do you feel forgiven? Do you feel love? Do you feel compassion by me? truth is, maybe God is telling you today, it didn't work then because you needed to be washed of all your sin, of all your past, and all your filth. But it can work now if you let me wash you. Come under my authority and my anointing, and you will see the best come out. And you might find it in your heart right now to say, man, I feel this thing. I want to give the best to my spouse. I want to give the best of me to my kids. I want to give the best of me to all my relationships. And God says, yes, yes. Because Jesus gave his best for us. I mean, he said, listen, I love you so much, I'm going to demonstrate. Are you ready? Here's my son who's going to be gutted on the cross so that you can be washed and you can have access to my authority, and so that the best can come out of you. So you're saying, oh man, I want this. I want to give the best. So humble yourself and say, God, I think I have Ruth syndrome. You're like, what is Ruth syndrome, Pastor? Is when you think you're good, when you think you're ready, and then you find out you stink. Ruth syndrome. You thought you were good. You say, man, I thought I was a good boyfriend. I thought I was a good husband. I thought I was a good leader. I thought I was. And then God says, listen, can I be Naomi for you? Slow down. You stink. Your bitterness stinks. Your unforgiveness stinks. The guilt you feel for your past and your sin and your mistake really stink. Stop. Before you go after what God has for you, because God had Boaz for her. God has Boaz for you. He has the blessing. He has the plans. He has the future. But God says, listen, stop. You can't go after it. Because you stink. And you humble yourself and you say, God, thank you for my pastor. You got to thank God for pastors. But say, Lord, thank you for showing me who I really am. God, I stink. God, I need you. I mean, I'm thankful you hooked me. God, I have a relationship with you. But God, there's just things inside me right now that I know if I don't get rid of. But you know what I love about this fish? He does nothing. You don't have to do anything, but just open yourself up to God. And he'll reach in. And he'll touch you. He'll begin the process of just getting everything out. And then when you're done, he says, my child, you're ready. Here comes Boaz. Get ready, girl. Here comes Boaz. Here comes my plans. Here comes my future. Here comes everything I wanted you to have. Here comes a better life. Here comes a future. Here comes hope. Here comes blessing. Here comes favor. Here it comes, because you washed, you anointed, and you got everything out. And now you're ready. So you came into this church like Ruth. Oh, I know I'm good. I don't need this. I'm good. Maybe God today just slapped you silly with reality that you stink. God says that Jesus washes all our sins. And then comes the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God comes inside you. And when that Spirit comes inside you and you walk with Jesus, all of a sudden, with the process of walking with the Lord, the best of godly virtue begins to come out. You guys blessed by today? I got dirty for you. Well, I tell you today, this is your time with God now. You might be saying, well, Pastor, what do I do first? Stop. Let me just stop. And I'll be Naomi for you. I'll say, listen, you may not know this. I hope you do now. And I don't mean it in a judgmental way because Naomi didn't. I don't mean it in a critical way because Naomi didn't. Like Naomi, she said that to her because she loved Ruth and wanted her to have Boaz, the best. And as your pastor, I love you. And I want God to give you the best. And I know you're the best. And I want the best to come out and be a blessing. But can I tell you something? You stink. You need God to wash you. Get rid of those things in you that you know are ruining your life, your relationships. Let God deal with it and just come under the authority of God. Some of you, I don't understand it. What do you need to know to understand that God wants to give you the best in your life? Well, how many sermons do you need to hear to understand God really loves you? That your past can be gone. That godly virtue is in you. It's just clogged with all this filth. So let's all stand to our feet today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just don't move around now. It's just a time for you to be with God now. I want to just say right now, first and foremost, that Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins because you could not clean yourself. You were that sheep that remained filthy until the shepherd came to clean and anoint. So if you're here today, and you may be wondering right now, I don't know if I have a relationship with Jesus. Can I tell you one easy thing? If you're wondering, you don't. Because you know that you know when you have a relationship with Jesus. So if there's any doubt in you, you probably don't. It's a silly thing as a married person doubting whether they're married or not. They know whether they're married or not. They don't say, I wonder if I'm married. I wonder if you're... No, they know. Same thing with Jesus. You know. So every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you something. I normally don't do this, but if you are sure you have a relationship with Jesus, say, Pastor, I am hooked. He hooked me. Back in this year, back in this service, he hooked me. Jesus lured me in. I have a relationship with him. No doubt. Don't worry about me. Can you show me your hands and say, Pastor, that's me. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Just show me your hands if you're there today. All right? All right? It's good. Put your hands down because you know what the scary thing is? Is that half the room raised their hand and there's another half that didn't. So that means there's a lot of you here who are listening online right now that you're saying, Pastor, I'm just not sure if I'm saved. And I'm not sure if I'm hooked. I'm not sure if I have a relationship with God. There's no shame in that. That's why you're in church right now. If this is you and you're saying, Pastor, I'm just not sure. Be bold enough. Put your hand up and say, hey, I'm not sure right now. Show me your hands right now if you're saying, I'm not sure. I see your hands. I see you there. I see you. All right. I see you. So I'll ask you this. Do you want to be sure? Do you want to be certain? Do you want to be confident that you can leave this church today and say, man, I am hooked now for sure. I have Jesus. Let me tell you right now, all you need to do is confess to the Lord that you're a sinner. Everyone that raised their hand before did that. They said, Lord, I'm a sinner. There's things inside me that don't honor you. When you confess, you are literally agreeing with God that you're a sinner. The problem is that sin is what removes us from God. This is why Jesus came in, to bridge the gap between you and God. Because sin had to be paid for, sin had to be punished. So Jesus stepped in and replaced himself for you. And said, I'll take this price, I'll pay this punishment. So Jesus died on the cross for your sins. So now when you confess that you're a sinner, you also confess that Jesus took your place. Jesus paid the bill. Jesus paid your sin. And you put all your trust on that. You don't put it on being good. You don't put it on praying to a statue. You don't put it on religion. No, you put all your faith and trust on the fact that Jesus died for your sins and he is the only way to heaven. And Jesus, when you say, Jesus, forgive me and save me. Jesus comes in. He hooks you. And then he gets inside of you and begins the process of change. But you're saved. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. I want to pray two prayers today. First one is for anyone that says, Pastor, I want to get hooked on Jesus right now. I want to give my life to him because I know that I'm a sinner. Let me tell you right now, like Ruth, God has the best for you. But you need to get washed first. If this is you, would you put your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. And I lead you in this prayer from this stage. God bless you. I see your hand, you there. From where you're at, just pray this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins because I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. You tell the Lord right now, Lord, today I surrender my life to you. I put all my faith and trust in you. For you died on that cross for me. And today, I surrender to that. Forgive me. Wash me. And save me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you prayed that, give God some praise today. If you're online and you listen to that. But I also want to pray for another group of people here. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, if you're saying, Pastor, I'm hooked, but I got some guts that need to be removed. Pastor, I'm hooked, but my marriage is falling apart. Pastor, I'm hooked, but I don't know how to be single. Pastor, I'm hooked right now, but there's things inside me that are messing my life up. Upon confession, would you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me right now. I'm hooked, but I got things inside me all across the room today. You're saying, Pastor, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness, there's a lack of patience in my heart right now inside me, and I need the Lord to gut me. I need the Lord to wash me. I want to pray with you today. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. It's just between you and God. But I want you to ask yourself right now this honest to God question. Are you giving the best of who you are to that person? If the answer is no, then you understand why that relationship is not working. You pray right now and say, Lord, this is dirty. This is filthy. And I need to be washed. You keep your hands up. I want to pray for you right now. If you're just lifting your hands up, you're saying, Pastor, this is me confessing to God. There's things inside me that don't honor him. There's things inside me. What's the point of being hooked if I'm not going to live the best of my potential? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name today, I pray for everyone in this church or everyone online right now. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would wash them with your precious spirit, Father. Wash them clean of their past. Wash them clean of guilt. Wash them clean of shame and unforgiveness and hatred and anger and bitterness and rage and all these other attributes, Father, that are not from you. And I pray, Jesus, that you remove the bad and replace it with good, Father. Give them godly virtue. Let it be a Father, that they begin to walk in love and kindness and forgiveness and humility and patience and love and gentleness, Father. Let it be so evident in the way that they are, Father, as they come under your anointing, they come under your authority because they've been washed, Jesus. I pray that the best become evident, Father. Let the best come out of them, Father, so that it will be a blessing to their marriage, a blessing to their family, a blessing to any relationship that they have now, God. Father, give us the anointing to be the best we that we can be in you. And Father, be with this person now that can't get over yesterday, that can't get over their past, that can't get over what they've lost. Father, I pray, like Ruth, Lord, she may have lost a lot in her past, but something better is coming to your future. And in Jesus' name, I'm telling you today, church, what you've lost, let it go, because something better is on the way. And your Boaz is coming. God has a magnificent plan and an imagination that's going to surpass your understanding. And he is going to do it, but you need to get ready for it. And you're not ready if you're harboring any past or sin. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, and bring out the best in Jesus' name. Give him a shout of praise if you're saying, I've been gutted. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that word.